The readings today have several themes that support our current activities, actions of both faith and of the secular world. First, David is settled in his house and has obviously established his position in less specific and mundane terms. Then in Paul's letter to Rome, he declares that his followers have now been given the news once meant only for the Jews, but now also disclosed to the Gentiles. And the gospel reading is the story known to us all in the announcement to Mary of her pending blessing of giving birth to the Son of God. The chosen woman's response is exemplary, obedient, firm. "Here am I. Let it be done according to your word." In these readings, we're also being reminded to get ready. And most of us have been getting ready. But for what? It's easy to see what the world around us is getting ready for. Gatherings, parties, gifts, decorations, food and drink. These are not necessarily frivolous things, but we should all realize that there is another reason for the festivities. They're not just to brighten up a gloomy part of the year as we send out brief and colorful memos to our friends and families that we wish them well, as we do every year about this time. It's not a time of temperance or privation. But let's not forget why we are celebrating now. For some of us, it's our once-a-year splurge. And the whole culture around us is aware, charged, and changed. The non-believers, as well as those who know why we call it Christ Mass. The other event that our culture almost universally celebrates is a birthday. So it's only natural that this birthday has such a widespread celebration. Let's remember the lessons from today's readings as we plunge into the final days of waiting. God has given us a safe haven. Most of us indeed are home for Christmas or in another geographical location in order to be with those we love. To be in the home of our hearts, we're celebrating love and relationship by giving gifts. Probably not incense and myrrh, but possibly gold. During World War II, one of the top songs heard over and over on the radio was, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." The troops scattered across Europe and much of the Pacific claimed it was the most meaningful piece of music of the war. As a favor, I will not sing it. We are given a new chance to be thankful, to be loving, to put others first, to share our goods and our love with them. And we can try in many ways to respond to what Paul writes to the Christians in Rome about the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret. The mystery is that the Savior is born, that as a man he will be with us, that the good news is a true report. Let's not forget to find this story behind all our celebrations. It's certainly okay, perhaps even required, to celebrate, for this is not just a promise of favor from the Almighty, but a living encounter with the one who begins here, a life to live out to the end in order to help us understand our salvation. We have an old saying in our culture suggesting that somebody else needs to walk in our shoes in order really to know us and to understand just what is going on in our lives. Christmas is the holy response. Our Creator does not descend in a flame, assume human form, and make proclamations. No, he enters a woman's womb, develops, is born under humble circumstances. I always hoped a midwife was staying in the inn that night and got out to the barn in time. He came among us in that very human event, a common but always potentially dangerous process. I'm never quite sure whether we should now be merry or perhaps something else. But I do rejoice with you. You're my family of faith. Christ is about to be born. Let us be glad. Amen.